Hello there, and we are live. I'm your host, Gerard Adlam from Payslip, and today we are unpacking the Global Payroll Agility Report for 2025. What is it? Well, it's a snapshot of global payroll right now, a window into what's working and what's not. And I think in unpacking it, we'll uncover some of the areas for improvement and take a little bit of a temperature check for where we're at as an industry. I'm joined by a gentleman that I imagine needs little to no introduction to many of you, but for those in the dark, he is, of course, Pete Tiliakos, Principal Analyst and Strategic Advisor at Payroll Influences, amongst many other things. Pete, a podcaster, thought leader, a passionate advocate for the payroll profession, and an all-round good guy. Hi, Pete.
Thank you. Welcome, man. Excited to be here and excited to be talking about this.
Are there any other strings to your bow, Pete, that I've neglected to
Yeah.
mention? Have I missed
No,
any
man.
out? There's quite a few.
I think you nailed it, man. I'm a former practitioner, just really trying to help out. Want to see, the research that we do now benefit the community, right? The practitioners, the leaders on the front line. And so, yeah, that's what I'm doing every day and just kind of studying and seeing what's going on and then working very closely with all of the vendors in the marketplace to shape the products, right? To shape the messaging, to shape the future. So it's a privilege, man. I love it.
Wonderful. Well, look, that's who we are. Be really interested to know who you
Yeah.
are. So if possible, if people were open to it, I'd love you to pop in the chat where you're dialing in from. It is a global agility report after all, so it'd be really nice to see what the spread of countries represented here today
Yes.
on the call are. Pete, whilst people are doing that, Austin, Texas, there's always someone from Austin,
Yeah.
Texas on the webinars that I run. So
Yeah. All right.
I don't know if I attract people from Austin in particular, but Anne Marie, it's lovely to have you with us. Milo or Milo from Berlin, Germany, amazing to have you on here with us. I will be leaving Texas, says Anne Marie. Oh, I hope that's nothing that I've said, Anne Marie. I hope I haven't put you off it or discouraged you by saying that. So
Yeah.
okay, I'm dialing in from what is today sunny Dublin, Ireland, and Pete, of course, you're in Hotlanta.
That's right, Hotlanta in the south.
And hi Remy as well. Remy actually gave a shout out to
Yeah.
you, Pete, when
Yes,
you signed
yes.
up. He
These are
said
some of my payroll executives showing up to hang out. I love it. I love
lovely. And Lane
it.
from delightful Shropshire in the UK. Fabulous. Well, look, Pete, I suppose as a broad question to sort of set the framework for this conversation, what does payroll agility actually mean to you? If we were to just try and
Yeah.
define that, because I think as a
Yeah.
phrase, as a concept, it can mean different things to different people.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think in this age, it means being flexible, right? Scalable, resilient, and being able to handle for the business. And I always analogize payroll to being like the high performance wheels on a McLaren. You've got to be able to handle, you've got to be able to see around the next corner. You've got to be able to pivot, right? And know when to shift lanes and shift gears. And so I think that's some of payroll's role. And I think there's a ton of agility in everything that they are producing. So yeah, for me, it's those things.
Yeah, I think that's a lovely way of putting
Yeah.
it. I think, well, if I would add one thing to that, I think it's also, for me, agility is also about, connection. It's about scalable systems and adaptability to change, right? I think the high performance
Yeah.
engine is a lovely way of putting it, and the tires on the car. I think it's that agility to adjust things on the fly if needs be, or even if that's in the medium term, whether it's a change in your own internal processes, a change in the vendor relationship. Whatever it might be, maybe even on the technology side, it's the capacity to do that without jeopardizing accuracy, compliance, maintenance, and all of those fundamentals, to be able to do it without putting those at risk. That's, I think, what true
Agreed.
agility
Yeah.
is. So look, we might, I suppose, talk about the agility report itself and how it came about, who took part. Pete, you were involved at the very beginning
Yeah.
of this
Yeah.
project, and you helped us put together the survey, which ultimately has surfaced the data points that we're going to discuss. So the methodology, what were we trying
Yeah.
to unpack with the survey?
So yeah, so look, the origin of this is actually somewhat interesting. I had noticed I've worked closely with Payslip for many years, and I was telling your team, I said, hey, you guys have this. They showed me this checklist, this agility checklist, and I said, this would be amazing if you could allow people to take this and somehow benchmark themselves against what good looks like, if you will. And so we got together and we said, hey, how could we create a little assessment that wouldn't take people very long? To just come in and be able to just answer a couple of questions about themselves and their operations, and basically learn how they stack up. And so what we really did is very, very simple, right? We just brought that checklist together, we fine-tuned it and aligned it with a maturity model that I had. And we said, hey, let's put it out there and give people the opportunity. And as you can see, we had a lot of great feedback. I think it's always, I love these tools, and I'll tell you why. I'm trying to build one out of my payroll profession confidence index. We're just making sure we get the, enough data first. I love the idea of, and where this comes from is the idea that if I'm a leader today, right, I've got to justify every change, every dollar, everything, right? Sometimes it's better to have another person say what you're already saying. And so I think when you can have this credible source to download and drop into your, your conversations, your decks or whatever, your meetings with your leadership, now the emotion gets removed and you're having a conversation about material results that you can, again, show a benchmark and say, hey, this is where we could be if we took some action. And it aligns with what, we're seeing and saying in our organizations. I think that's very, very empowering. And so that was the goal of all of this, right? Is to try and take some information in to understand what's going on, but then return something back so that leaders could go and action off of it.
I think that's so well articulated, that ability, I suppose, as a leader to benchmark yourself against how other teams are performing. Are they having the same challenges as we are? And if they're not, why not? And as you say, to be able to build a business case to take to leadership and say, look, we are falling behind in the following areas. Actually, we're a little bit out of step. There are others who are doing it better. And we need the investment in order to bring ourselves up to what we think is the new baseline standard. So I think that's a nice way of putting it. That's exactly what these reports, and I'm glad you mentioned your the confidence index, because we'll also supplement as we're going out across these data points, but some of your findings from that index as well, because they sort of wash each other's face to a certain extent. And it was one of the encouraging things that I found when I read through the confidence index was that actually a lot of these stats, they align. If we had 100 people respond to make up the data points on this, which for a report like this, it's statistically significant, right? That is a noteworthy enough number that you can
Decent
draw.
sample.
Absolutely, you can draw conclusions. It's not definitive. No report is, and I think it's important to say that as we dive into this, but it is noteworthy and it's statistically significant. Okay, so let's, without further ado, let's go into the first couple of data points. And whilst we unpack these, Pete, I might also launch the first poll. Anyone who's been on one of those before that I
Do
host,
it. Yeah.
I do like to run a couple of polls. But I suppose, Pete, across these three stats, are there any that particularly jump out to you? I suppose I found it alarming that still in the year 2025, people are operating with such fragmented HCM systems. I mean, that as
Yeah.
a root fundamental is so challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, no surprises here. I mean, look, I think there's plenty of data that says at the end of the day, the fragmentation, right? We're dealing with, I think it's an average of like 15 plus apps in our day-to-day, some people more. And that's a crazy experience, right? I mean, none of them, many of them are hopefully talking to each other, but they're not the same experience. And so that's pretty standard, I think, across everything that we're doing. One of the things I think that stood out, or not stood out here, but obviously aligns with what we saw over in the Payroll Profession Confidence Index is that limited integration. Such a key part, right? I talk about this in my report about how critical the integration is to achieving any of the things that you want to do, whether it's flow your data to other systems and create real-time opportunities, or leverage it for AI, or leverage it for anything, or even the experience of engaging all these systems is much, much different when they're integrated. And so that really came through in my report, and obviously is coming through here that the integration is lacking in so many ways. And I think that's a huge opportunity, but also this huge, I call it the arteries of global payroll. Incredibly vital, right, to the infrastructure. And I think it's very foundational element that I think might get overlooked a little bit. And they're not all equal in the market, right? You've got to, like anything, you've got to kick the tires. And I think that's what we're seeing is that organizations are maybe operating maybe still in outdated solutions or solutions that are immature in the integration phase and not working well with the landscape. So there's just a ton of opportunity still here in that
Yeah.
space, really for everybody. It doesn't matter if it's payroll or not. I think you see a lot of struggles with integration.
No, absolutely. And I suppose, again, kind of building on that, the other stat that jumps out to me was that 41% of people still reporting that replacing vendors, again, sort of the lifeblood of so many operations, your best friend or your worst enemy, your payroll vendor, that replacing them still proving difficult and unpredictable. And I thought that was
Yeah.
something an interesting way of framing it, that I suppose the service can be unpredictable, but also in terms of your vetting of them, that process can be unpredictable, and you don't always know what you've actually bought until it comes month one and the first payroll is in motion, and now you really see what kind of agreement you've entered into. So that remains a
Yeah.
perennial challenge, Pete.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think also too, there's a bit of a fear, right, of the past, right? It was so hard to do things, to change systems and to integrate things back. We weren't integrating back then, right? We were connecting and we had interfaces and things like this, right? And so I think that that fear has built up this idea that, well, if it isn't broken, don't fix it. Whereas now I think things are so much more extensible. It's much easier for you to solve for your payroll or any of your infrastructure needs with extensibility in such a way that it lets you retain investments and integrate and attach to those things that you have that have strength. So I think that the fear, hopefully the fear is waning, if you will.
Absolutely. Well, and
Yeah.
just to share the results of the
Yeah, there you
poll,
go. There's
quite
PPCI.
close.
Yeah.
Yeah, 53% talking about manual processes and inefficiencies. And I suppose in a
Yeah.
way, Pete, that sort of tees you up nicely, and you might talk us through the couple of stats that
Yeah.
I've circled here. But again, it goes back to that idea of 41% talking about challenges and integrations, 45% noting tech and automation being the challenges. Again, they sort of line up at exactly what we're hearing from people on joining us live, that it's, again, it's related to
Yeah.
automating these
Well,
manual
it, and
processes.
as you can
The
see here,
two go hand in hand.
You can see it's such an impediment down here in the right corner to actually achieving the things that you want to achieve. So we're making a lot of progress, I think, on the centralization and and kind of the blocking and tackling of payroll. But what we've got to do is set up payroll to be able to do those transformative things, and it's largely going to be rooted in that tech and automation integration capability. But also, I want you to draw your attention over to the complete far left there around vision, strategy, and roadmap. This is an area where we really, if you get a chance to look at the Payroll Profession Confidence Index, you'll see we did a bit of push into this on both leadership engagement, but also vision and strategy enablement. It leads to much more improved outcomes. It leads to much more likeliness of you actually transforming towards something material than just sort of doing payroll, right? And doing payroll transformation, I guess I would say it, because it's again, it's one thing to make an investment and say, well, we've got the tech. It's a whole other thing to know how you're going to strategically use that tech, change around that tech, and actually drive your business forward. So I'd love to see more folks kind of beginning with the end in mind and starting with a vision and a strategy. And thankfully, we're seeing that with folks that I'm talking to. But we've also got to then have the infrastructure for payroll to do what they need to do. And that's going to be rooted in, a proper cloud platform, extensible integrations, and the ability to actually trust the data that you have and flow the data such that you can action off of that reporting wise and AI wise and other, otherwise, if you will. So
Yeah,
yeah, all starts
absolutely.
there.
It does. And to draw a line under the vendor issue as well, just a note,
Yeah.
next month, Mary Holland actually will be joining us for a live session all around the issue of how you go about managing a change in vendor. So keep an eye on your emails, keep an eye on our socials over the next week or so. We'll get those invites out. But yeah, Global Payroll Advisor Mary Holland will be joining us to give you a little bit of a masterclass from her many, many years of experience. Mary won't mind me saying that, in managing a best-in-class vendor change process. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that. So Pete, moving on, we wanted to talk about, I suppose, speed, right? And speed in payroll, gets misconstrued. What does it really mean? But I suppose at a simple level, it's the capacity to execute and how long it takes you to get to a point where you're
Yeah.
confidently handing over that payroll file. It sort of saddens me, to see that 40% of people are saying it still takes at least 5 days to run payroll, because it's
Yeah.
just because it's taking 5 days does not mean you've got 5 days to assess, to validate, to run the numbers, to run your compliance checks. More often than not, that's 5 days just to get the data points, to get the inputs aligned, to actually start preparing your file. If there was one
Yeah.
stat that stood out to me as being sort of sad in the report, this is the one that sort of it winds me up a little bit, because when I see a
Yeah.
stat like this, all I see is long hours. I see payroll people working it late into the evenings. That's the flip side of it. So they've got more time to do it, but actually, beneath the surface of that, it's long evenings and extra hours worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think that goes back to those multiple systems, right? And systems that don't talk to each other, or systems that aren't harmonized, or in some way are again just multi, right, layered, and you're dealing with a stack versus a centralized solution. So, yeah, look, I think on the one hand, I think we have to remember that in many payrolls, the heavy lift is in the bill to gross. It's in the source to gross. Often something payroll has absolutely no control over, but fundamentally is completely led by, right? And so I think there's a lot of opportunity on that end. I've been talking about this a little bit about the rise in sort of workforce management and other front end transformation and integrations that are going to and are benefiting the payrolls process. But what I think you have to really look towards is really the future in terms of how we're seeing payroll platforms calculate and in real time, right? It's continuous calculation. And with that integration, can flow that data around, right? And now you have same day payments. Certainly digital money movement is effective. You've got your earned wage accesses. So you can see the pay cycle is going extinct, right? It is slowly shrinking and breaking down. Good news for practitioners, even better news for the people who are getting paid. But yeah, I
Absolutely.
think this, but this is largely rooted, I would say, go back into that fragmentation, multiple vendors, you know, and that stack mentality versus having a centralized solution that can flow everything as a command center.
Yeah.
Yeah, often leads to those things. So a lot of work to do still here.
It is, but it's important also to celebrate the wins, and I suppose also
Yeah.
show the art of the possible, because the flip side of it is we 25% of respondents are sort of achieving
That's
that
great.
happy state of getting it done in 2 days or less. And that might be shocking to some people on this call who aren't quite at that stage yet, but I guess yeah,
Yeah.
in a room of payrollers, look around and one in every four of you lucky ducks is actually doing it in 2 days or less. But I suppose it just
Man.
proves the point. It is being done. And there are
It can.
companies
It can.
who are innovating, you know, because I think it's important with these kind of reports. It can sometimes feel like doom and gloom. Anne Marie actually had a great point. It was interesting to get a bit more detail on that. Is it in-house or outsourced? That's something I can try and dig into, Anne Marie, in some of the stats. I know from looking at the sort of the biographical details of the people who took it was a mix.
Yeah.
So I'd have to dig in more detail to see, yeah, who's achieving that when it's outsourced or in-house. I will say anecdotally, this is just again my own two cents in it, Amory, from the conversations I've had. When it's in-house, and it might be again the nature of the companies that we deal with the payslip, but they're more efficient when they're able to handle it in-house. There's less back and forth. There's less time wasted, I suppose. Less time spent on communication. They have the data flows right, so that they're executing it. Yeah, Marie,
Yeah.
maybe you've seen the same from the conversations. But look, I think you're right. It's always good to validate the data and kick the tires on it. And then the last point on this beat, I suppose depending on how you look at it, 14% is either an astronomical number or it's a number maybe that
Yeah.
we're okay with, but regularly experiencing compliance failures, it's a number ultimately you'd like to see it closer to zero, really.
Yeah.
I don't know
Yeah,
if
for sure.
there's a number
Yeah,
that
I
you
mean
can be happy with.
it's hard to say. It's hard to say, right? There's so much that goes behind that. It could be more than tech, right? I mean, the tech could be perfect and someone do things wrong, or the company not follow good practices, and you could have a problem. So I actually am impressed that that's kind of low, right? I mean, I think I would expect with all the fragmentation, a lot of what we're seeing out there, that there's more. But that's where I think the tech is now kind of backstopping a little bit and helping curb that.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll see that go down.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, anecdotally, I might add, earlier this year, we worked off-site with one of our customers to present internally at one of their finance days. And one of the data points that we had picked out was that over the course of a normal pay cycle, there were 10,000 different control elements that needed to
Yeah.
be checked. So like, if you think about it, and like they're a relatively large company, but there are much bigger companies out there. But as a window into it, 10,000 potential things that could be wrong, 10,000 data points that there might be a mistake every single month. It underlines the point, sort of payroll is not scalable unless you have technology behind you. And again, when I see a stat like that, I just think about, well, it's only as low as 14% because of the extra hours that people are putting in to keep it that low.
Probably.
Be because of the fastidious nature of payrollers, it's their hard work that's keeping it that low.
Yes,
Anne-Marie,
absolutely. Their athleticism. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, look, we're motoring through it, but
Yeah.
I just wanted to highlight because in your profession, in the index, now I know you're not
Yeah.
saying it's a benchmark, but funnily enough, again, these two reports, by the way, were compiled completely
Yeah.
independently, but you had noted that less than 3 business days for standard cycles. That's kind of the
Yeah.
area we want to get to. A
Yeah. Yeah.
any lower than that probably isn't realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me pause here a minute and maybe give some context for this ROI scorecard if anybody hasn't seen this, right? I just put this out. This is just one slice of it, an internal focus here. But what we did was in the new Payroll Profession Confidence Index, and I'll pop in the, I don't know, it maybe, Gur, you could probably add it there in the comments, the link to it, and anyone can download
I
it.
will.
What we did was we last year we put out the five pillars of modern payroll, and it basically established the five core sort of outputs that payroll ought to be focused on when it comes to strategic enablement, right? Because we've forever, I have a post on this right now online on LinkedIn. We've continuously whipped HR and payroll be more strategic, right? But what does that actually mean? So that's what the five pillars was designed to do. So what we wanted to do this year was go a layer deeper and say, well, how on earth would you measure the real ROI of payroll beyond what I would argue has historically been entirely about stripping costs and cutting heads? How little can we give payroll to keep it on life support, right? Has been largely the mantra, or excuse me, the approach in most businesses. And what we're trying to say is like, look, if you would flip your lens and look at this as an investment, it becomes a competitive advantage in the form of agility, de-risking, right? Orbiting the business and keeping it out of trouble, bringing Big Four style consultative expertise to the table to advise the business. What's the value of that? What's the value of payroll's innovation? And so all of these things were meant to be basically an idea of saying, look, it's conceptual. It's just meant to be a line in the sand, and the benchmarks in here are largely just simply example metrics, and they're directionally correct. But I would say don't benchmark this because you do need to look at probably the environment that you're in. There's a lot of factors you would have to go into to tweak what the measures would be. But the point of this is to get folks thinking. Start thinking about payroll in a different way. Start looking at payroll in a different metric system and see what difference you get out of that, right? If all you're doing is saying how cheaper, faster, whatever can payroll be, at some point there's going to be a diminishing return, right? I mean, you can only strip something down so much till it's just fundamentally can't function the way it should. And I don't think the exercise should be about trying to find that weak point. I think the exercise should be about trying to fortify that and bring payroll to a point of ROI that is not just about a takeout, right? And so that's what these are, right? These are fundamentally just a scorecard to give you a framework to think about what this could be. But yeah, I'm happy to see that I was in range. Again, I tried to make these like if I was running an operation, what would I think would be pretty reasonable? And that's how we came up with this. But again, very much a concept. So make this your own. Take this, use it as an opportunity to just get you thinking is really what I want. So
Absolutely.
yeah. Thank you for showing this. I'm really proud of this.
No, absolutely. Anne-Marie, yeah, we will try and leave time for a Q&A, and if we don't get to it,
Yes,
you're
please.
more
Yeah,
than
I'd love
welcome
that. I'd love that.
to catch up with myself or Pete afterwards as well if we don't
Yeah.
get to the time. But yeah, look, and when we're following up, by the way, folks, we will send both the deck and the report that you're seeing here, and I'll very
Yeah,
happily
please.
link to Pete's Confidence Index as well, so people can begin that process of, yeah, like I say, it's a framework to start sketching out and building a business case for yourself. That's the whole point of these tools.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just one piece of it. There's a whole overview with everything on it, and then there's one for every section of the scorecard, as well as some alternative metrics that you could use instead of the few that I've put forward. So, yeah, good.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I see Mr. Hartley saying there he'd like to present this to management at an upcoming meeting later.
Good,
By all
yeah.
means, that's exactly what it's for. Okay, so we turn our attention then, I suppose, to the what goes hand in hand with having that baseline of technology, and that is automation and in AI. And I suppose I've editorialized these stats with that heading that it's still aspirational for many, but I think that's a fair thing to say, right? That for all of the talk at the moment about AI and the potential benefits on the horizon, the very near horizon, by the way, of AI in payroll, so many payrollers don't even have that sort of that the basics in place. Just 48% say they
Yeah.
actually genuinely have some sort of automation in place, whether through workflows or integrations or whatever it might be, but it's actually taking some of the heavy lifting. 26% are still back in that place of more or less entirely reliant on manual processes. So yeah, AI and automation, it feels like it's a pipe dream for a lot of people right now.
Look, here's the thing we saw in our research this year is that it is a couple of key themes that that kind of excite me but bum me out, right? I mean, I think there's this overwhelming optimism for what technology can provide payroll, but payroll's not getting it, and they're not getting the respect to get it. So they're operating absent that, right? And so when you look at our report, we take a very value, sentiment, relationship, collaboration, all that sort of view. And we only ask one technology question. We purely ask, what are the most impactful digital enablers? AI did not rank in the top five. And I'll tell you why. Now, RPA, I think, was second, right behind cloud, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go back and look at that. Top three anyway. And so what I think you see is AI was kind of in like maybe a it was like maybe less than a quarter of people were really citing it as impactful. So that's probably about how many people are using it right now. And again, what I would say is like AI is here for payroll, right? Auditing, there's you shouldn't be ticking and tying. You shouldn't be, you can do straight through autonomous payroll is available from vendors globally. Not to say that you can fit into that, right? It's not necessarily going to work for the most complex, gnarly scheduling, CBA type of a payroll. It's going to be more of a straight through salary, something like that, right? However, back to my point, I don't think most practitioners have it, right? And so they can't rate it and say what the impact is because it's just not there. And so I think you've got a lot of workflow automation that's still there. I think you've got some native AI in platforms, depending upon what platform firms are using. And then I think you've got a lot of RPA in the enterprise that is making a lot of impact and has made a lot of impact for payroll. But what we're seeing is that I don't think payroll has all of the technology they need and the AI yet at scale in order to have these really stellar outputs. And so
No,
a lot of
I
opportunity still.
agree. I agree. But I tell you, Pete, to build on that, I think part of the reason, and this is what maybe some vendors who are selling AI won't tell you, or what they don't want to admit, is that you cannot have an effective AI layer, assistant, whatever you want to call it, unless you have your data in the right format, the right shape, unless it's centralized, standardized, unless it's trustworthy. That is sort of the base level for any AI application. And so the reason why payrollers haven't yet felt the benefit of it is, well, go all the way back through the data points that we've already touched upon, is because they don't have, unfortunately,
They
yet
don't even have,
the
cloud, some of
consolidation,
them.
the standardization of data. So until they can get those building blocks in place, AI will remain a pipe dream. A comment from Remy that he hasn't really seen payroll yet invested in AI from some of the vendors. I think you're probably right. I think there are lots of them out there that are trying to invest in AI. And do your research as corn as the need arises for you, Remy. And I don't know what you're thinking of migrating to, or the conversations you're having, obviously. But I will say, from Payslip's point of view, we are investing heavily in AI. But the caveat is, we're doing it from a place of having your data standardized as a base level. We're helping you achieve that first box before you can actually start to scale up towards AI. And we're doing it deliberately cautious. We're not rushing out with features that we don't know if they can work. Because look, the reality is, and okay, we're like every conversation in 2025, Pete, we're being siloed down an AI conversation. But just for a moment, like, it is worth saying that AI and payroll are not necessarily happy bedfellows because of the threshold for mistakes. And the large language models, the ones that everyone else in other departments, your ChatGPTs, Claudes, and all the rest of it, they'll never be good enough for payroll because they don't have a small enough threshold for mistakes. They always allow the possibility of an error. Unless it's a narrowly defined AI fit for purpose for a very specific use case within the payroll cycle, it's never going to deliver you,
Yeah,
I suppose,
we
the
should
accuracy
clarify
and
if we,
confidence.
yeah, we should clarify that. So Remy, to answer Remy's question, it is 100% being innovated and invested in aggressively across the market. There is no vendor worth talking to in payroll At least at the global level, the HCM level, that is not fundamentally doubling down. I can tell you Workday's doubling down. I work very closely with them. UKG is doubling down. SAP, all the major HCMs, and fundamentally your global payroll providers are as well, just like Payslip. And I would agree. I think moving slow is going to be important. You should separate commercial solutions like ChatGPT, Claude, X, whatever, Grok, away from those that you're using privately inside of your business or within your platforms that you're licensing. They are not the same things. Certainly powerful, but you should not be using ChatGPT to shove payroll data in PII and try and do something with it. You should be doing that through a private firewalled, application that your organization has given you the access to. And so what I would tell you is that you need to be experimenting with this. If you're not experimenting with AI, you're falling behind. If you're not learning and unlearning and relearning, you're falling behind. And you can't continue to use the excuse, fill in blank, whatever excuse you have. You have to lean into this. And if you don't have it now, you will have it eventually, either by way of your leadership and your firm pushing it down into everything they do, or your provider pushing it into the platform. And it's up to you to digest that. So what I would tell you is learn, lean in, use it as an opportunity to advance your organization, right? Take away all the ticking and tying and all the nonsense of manual work and start returning value back to the business with your time in the form of using your insights and your expertise with that. So but just be very careful. Separate these commercial products from those that you're buying enterprise-wide or inside your company. They're very different solutions in terms of what they're going to be doing with it and what they do with your data. So
Absolutely, well said, Pete. Yeah, you're very welcome, Pete, Remy, for posing the question, and we're very happy to shed light on. Look, that's exactly the point of this, and that's why you attend these webinars, to kind of, I guess, to get that window of insight into these things. Okay, let's move on through some of these stats, because we've got a few more to cover, and I do want to respect people's time and try and to cap it at the 40-45 minute mark. This is one that, again, I feel is so fundamental. And not to open the floodgates, Pete, for you to talk about the payroll at the C-suite table, but I think this goes hand in hand with it to an extent of, you're never going to have that seat, you're never going to have that strategic influence if you don't have visibility and control. These are, I guess, fundamental to being able to offer strategic insights at that level of authority.
Your power's in your data, right? I mean, we probably beat everybody over the head with that. Payroll has oil in
It's true,
its
though.
midst,
But
right?
it's
It really
true.
is. It really is. And I'll say this though, like, look, even with all of the technology, a bigger part of this, and I think some of this could be indicative of this by way of not making technology investments from the organization, is that the word siloed right there. Payroll has got to, whether or not they necessarily are going to be asked to do this, and you're right about the seat at the table. Anne-Marie and I did a great podcast on the point that maybe you need to go and take it, right? Or maybe you need to go make your own seat at the table. And so what I've been saying is I think a symptom of this is that payroll is siloed, and there isn't a relationship between payroll and the executive team, or payroll and maybe even HR. It's somewhat clinical and not so collaborative. And what I'm seeing though is that those organizations where their payroll teams are collaboratively working with their executives or vice versa, maybe there's a two-way point to that, have significantly different outcomes as an operation. So I think it's time that payroll really has to start taking that data, regardless of what format you have it in, whatever, ease of getting it you have, and bringing that to bear in the form of an opinion, and putting that in front of leaders and starting to have conversations. And you can slowly get that buy-in and begin to get that visibility. And that comes with eventually investment and respect and trust. But I think payroll is leaning too hard into that siloed attitude of, well, we're over here, they're over there, they'll let us know what they want something. I think payroll's got to step out and lead and stop being led. And some of this would also be benefited, boosted, regardless of the technology. But certainly the technology is the tool to get all of that.
Well, and to that point, I sort of highlighted this stat on its own for that exact reason, that only 9% of our respondents have direct access to real-time reporting. Okay, that sounds a
That's
bit
rough.
highfalutin, but what do we mean by that? Well, are you actually able to put your hand right now to the data within your organization, or do you need to go through a couple of hurdles? Typically, that's going to be maybe your vendors, right? That they hold the key to the data, and you need to ask them for it. And hopefully, you'll hear back this week. Maybe it'll be next week. Or you need to go through your internal IT teams in order to get the data that you need. But then once you get it, well, who's responsible for consolidating all of that data, running the different spreadsheets, comparing them all together, pulling them all into one place? Yeah, it's our old friend, the payroll leader, yet again. So it's a disappointing stat that, again, only just, 10 out of every 100 of us have access to the data that we need in order to add that strategic value. That's a
I'd
pity,
love
and
to
that's
see
definitely
that. I'd
something
love to see
going
that
on.
across more business processes too, to see what it how it compares. But that's incredibly low for 2025. We got to get that higher. You got to have data, business data in the flow of business. And I think payroll, is one very rich data
Oh.
set that needs to be paired with others. And if you can't get that,
Oh, yes.
there goes that
I
value,
mean, you asked the question, you'd love to see it, how that compares to other departments. I'll tell you now that there isn't a sales team, a customer success team, a marketing team, you name it. There isn't one of those departments which, if they did not have access to real-time statistics about their role and, the campaigns they're running or the conversations they're having, serious questions would be asked why they don't have access to that data. That's the truth. And I don't say that to denigrate or to kick payrollers. That's not what I'm doing. But just if you think about other departments, they wouldn't accept not having that data.
But yet the
So,
leadership accepts not having it from payroll, right? Sort of by choice. It's unfortunate.
absolutely. So okay, if there was one thing I wish I could change, it would be that, because I think it would inform so many other things about payroll. And to that point, payroll's perception, right? And look, these things go hand in hand. Just not 9% of respondents, say that they actually think their organization sees them solely as a cost center, so not adding strategic value. In fairness, I think 1 in 10, that's not so bad. I think if you ran this report, 10, 15 years ago, you'd probably think that that figure would be a lot higher, right? Yeah. Well, fair enough, Amory. That feels fluffy. Look, as I said at the top of the report, you can never say the findings of any report are definitive. And that's the truth. I think these are a snapshot and they're a window into the people
Can I
who
give you maybe
responded.
some color to this?
Yeah,
So
please
Workday,
do.
I just went through I'm doing some work with Workday on a report, and we looked at some global payroll data that they sourced through a third party. And I can't remember how many people. It was several thousand, right? One of the interesting thing was is I think it was 92% of the respondents said payroll is strategically important, but less than 40% were actually doing anything to actually invest in it to make that happen. So it was almost like it's like a paralyzation. We know we need it, but we don't really want to go and do anything about it, right? We don't fix it. We don't solve it. We don't invest. And so, to me, it's kind of like, it's like we all want to, get in better shape or something, right? I'll use that analogy. And we buy the gym membership, but then we don't really do anything. Or maybe we set off on a new regime January 1, but then 2 weeks later we don't do it. Or we just talk about it and never do it. I think there's still a lot of that in payroll. And unfortunately, what we have is I think there's still this catalyst buying behavior that says, if I'm not in any pain, why go solve it? Why go spend any money, right? If nothing has failed or I haven't bought something that now needs to be dealt with, I'll just worry about it when I do, versus getting that mindset of more like an iPhone purchase where we're getting in line for the latest and the newest, right? I'm not saying we got to get to that, but we've got to get to a mentality where payroll is an investment and not a commodity that we just have to sort of manage like car insurance or something because we have to. We got to get out of that mindset. And so I'd love to see us improve on all those things.
Yeah, well, to your point on investment, again, 29% reporting significant recent investment, 21% report minimal investments. And look, those are I suppose, the polemic side. Obviously, there's a middle ground of people who maybe think the investment is right for what it needs to be at the moment. I again, those stats, they don't surprise me. I don't look at that stat and think that doesn't sound right. Again, it sort of lines up again with the conversations that we have. And yeah, I do you feel the same, Pete? Does it sort of chime
It
in
goes
with what
back.
you hear?
Yeah, this is right on par. I mean, I would say, it seems like a lot. There's data from other peers of mine that indicate payroll and time are some key areas of systems to be flipped over the coming, 2, 3 years, 4 or 5 years, from the last few years, so probably 5. Basically, though, what I'm getting at here is I think all of those things we've talked about before, the lack of relationship, the siloing, the lack of respect, the lack of understanding for what payroll actually is doing and what they're sitting on from a data perspective, has led to this lack of investment, right? Why would I invest in, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The lights come on when I turn the switch. What's the problem? And if you don't value payroll as a strategic threat and a strategic advantage, two sides of the same coin, you're not gonna take that appropriate action. So I think there's a lot of blindness still in the C-suite for what payroll holds and prevents and offers. And that's again where I think the PPCI and reports like this can bring some light to that to show leaders, hey, you've got to look at this very, very differently.
Yeah, and to that point again, one last stat to see us off into the moonlight. 42% reporting that yeah, again, they feel leadership is investing adequately in payroll's success. Now maybe a slightly different wording, which might lead to a slightly different response, but it doesn't seem too far out of kilter again with what the Agility report has found.
So the spirit of this here is to basically call bullshit, right? Is what I'm doing here. It's one thing for me to talk and say, hey, I care about payroll, right? And throw money at you and say, go buy whatever you need, right? Okay, that gets you so far, but what about actually caring about the outcomes for this team and being invested in our success? Now you've got a balance pretty much of investing, putting money on the table and actually it being invested and caring. But what we need is that to get to 100, right? We need every leader to be looking at payroll and saying, I'm invested in your success and I'm willing to invest in you with my time and money and resources and those things. So we've got a lot of work to do here. Again, it goes back to that relationship, the perception, all of those things have to get changed. And payroll is going to have to lead some of that for themselves. They're going to have to step out of their shell, step out of their sort of previously led world and go lead. And I think a lot of that is going to be cultivating relationships with your executives and showing them, teaching them that value and that and opening their eyes to what you're actually doing and the risk that you're preventing for the company. I think these numbers will go up, but we need leaders to be on both sides, right? It's you can't just throw money on the table and walk away. And when they do fundamentally lean in and are invested, go look at the stats in the PPCI and the magnification of ROI and the difference in treatment for payroll. It's starkly different and very impactful.
And look, hopefully some of the stats that we picked apart today will form the basis of that business case so you can go and try and get some of that added investment. I'll open the floor because we've got a few minutes left to any questions that people want to ask.
Yeah, please.
Whilst I do that and whilst we solicit questions, I hope people might indulge me, just for a moment to talk a little bit about what Payslip does. And I suppose if I can start that by saying, what does agility look like? So if we think about it in four pillars: visibility and control, connected scalable systems, flexible vendor management, and data-driven decisions at speed. That's something that Payslip helps you achieve. I won't turn this into too much of a sales pitch, I promise, don't worry. But just to say that that's kind of why we exist. We are that base of payroll operations for the modern innovative payroll system, for the modern innovative payroll leader. So harmonizing those data inputs, no matter where they're coming from, whether it's time and attendance, stock options, benefits, your base HCM or HCMs, as we saw earlier on, because people are so often operating with fragmented systems, standardize that data, make sure it's validated automatically at source so you can trust it. And then all of that good stuff that happens in terms of vendor management, full visibility into where they are in the payroll cycle, what needs to be done, a clear record of everything down to how many GTN reversions they've had month on month, so you can build a business case around that vendor's performance. All of that stuff, all the way right through to integrations with your ERP systems for one-click general ledger publishing. There's a huge amount more. Again, I won't go into the full sales pitch. If you're interested in hearing more about it, you know where we are. Okay. With that said, Pete, I guess there's a nice question in here from Anne Marie. I think you can maybe see it too. How do we change the mindset of consultants? Companies coming in and their mindset is still about reducing headcount. Yeah, great point. Operations, and for that reason, should sh sit in shared services, but they're not looking at anything but HR to employee payslip, not the company. I think you kind of get what Anne Marie is driving at there.
No, she's spot on. That's exactly what the ROI scorecard is for. I mean, the point of it is to get people thinking. The whole point of the PPCI, if you read it, it's written to the C-suite. It's to try and solve some of the ignorance. There's a lot of ignorance It's just, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but your leadership doesn't know what you do. I would argue some of them don't even care. HR doesn't even know what you do. And you've got a whole system, right? You have a whole organization, and then you've got companies going out still and saying, "Hey, make it as cheap as we can possibly make it, right? Make it as whatever." So what are consultants going to do, right? If that's the business case that was made, they're going to have to do that. What we need is more people talking like this PPCI, and that's what kind of I get a little fired up about it, because you have all these influencers and you have all these people doing this, but who's actually putting out a point of view that's moving you forward? There's none. And so that's what I'm trying to do here, and with the help of many of these executives that we're hearing chime in, getting their feedback to understand how do we talk to this leadership and start changing this mindset and attitude on payroll, just as a almost as a mark it's almost a marketing effort, right? How do we rebrand payroll? And that's what I've kind of taken on myself. I know there's a lot of other folks that are doing it, but the bottom line is that's what it's going to take. We've got to break away from the bookkeeping mentality. We've got to get away from treating payroll as just a simple cost center and look at it as a very important strategic enabler. And I think until we get there, we're not going to have that mindset of investment. We're going to still have that cost strip out, cost takeout, make it cheaper, faster, whatever, instead. And so we've just got a lot of work evangelizing this, to be honest with you. We need more people helping actually push this survey and get more input to it, because we are getting into boardrooms. I'm presenting this in boardrooms. I'm presenting this at associations. But sadly, despite the uniqueness of this survey being entirely unmonetized, anonymized, by payroll, for payroll, you've got a lot of organizations and groups that don't want to be a part of it because they can't make money off of it. I don't make any money off of it. I'm just trying to help. I've walked a mile in the leader's shoes. I used to lead payroll for Disney. I was a consultant for Deloitte. I've worked for some of the vendors, and now I have the opportunity to influence. And so my point is like, let's do something to help this industry, and move it forward, right? Versus fundamentally continuing to just go down the path we're on and be led right off a cliff. It's gotta end. So yeah. So I'd love for everybody, please take the survey, share the survey. Go look at it. Call me up. Let's talk about it. Tell me what you're seeing. All of this is
Absolutely.
meant to help move you forward. And so, yeah, and just so is the agility report, right? That's exactly what this is for.
Absolutely. Yeah,
So,
absolutely. Look, we pushed
yeah.
it out there, but the truth is we had zero hand in crafting the survey and the questions. We left it entirely in your hands, Pete, to
Yeah.
to inform what would go into that. We pushed it out to all and sundry. Actually, the minority of people taking it were Payslip customers, and because it wasn't about that, it was
Yeah.
about getting a temperature check, more across the industry, not just about looking, inward at what our own customers are doing, but at a wider lens, what's the industry doing? So yeah, I'm glad you said that. And this is a if there was one CTA I'd leave people with, it's get in contact, and we can send you the agility
Yeah.
survey to take. You can take that for yourself. Use it as a benchmark against the findings of the report to see where you're at. If you need then to, put that together into a presentation and present it as part of a pitch for more budget or more support. And by the same token, the Confidence Index is another fantastic resource to just see how do we compare? How are
Yeah.
we doing
I'm not able to
vis-a-vis the
put the link in the
competition?
comments. Maybe you could pop it in, Gerd, but yeah, everyone's welcome to take it. It's free to download. All my content is. You can just click it and take it. There's no PII. So yeah.
Absolutely. I tell you, I promise I'll follow up with everybody who's both on this and everyone who's signed up. We'll send
Yeah.
on a little package with the link to that confidence index, to the agility survey, and the deck as well. Pete, before we go, I think you've got a Anne-Marie would like to maybe hire you for a session. I like that she clarified for a session, Pete. Maybe she thought you might take it as a straight up job offer. Good
Yeah.
to clarify
Anytime,
that, Anne-Marie.
Anne-Marie. I'll do anything for Anne-Marie. She's the best. And check out her podcast on the HR and Payroll 2.0 podcast. We did a great one on this exact topic, how to have a
Brilliant.
conversation with your leadership and get that seat at the table. So check that out, man. Check that out.
That's fantastic. Well, look, with
Yeah.
that said, I'll say my sincere thanks as ever, Pete, for joining me
Yes.
and
Thank
for
you.
all of your work in putting together both the survey and helping me unpack some of the findings and the data points from it. Thank you to everyone who's joined it. These things don't happen in a vacuum. Otherwise, it'd just be myself and Pete here talking to our respective walls. So it's lovely to have you on. Thanks for all the engagement and the bit of fun along the way. And yeah, we will see you on the next one. September 4th, Mary Holland will be joining me. for a session all around best practices for managing a change in vendor. So for the 41% of you statistically who say that that's a challenge, I will see you on September 4th for what I know will be a great practical session. Thank you all very much and enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Gur. Good to see you, man.
Bye bye, guys.